Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Vanessa Denha-Garmo filling in for Teresa Tomeo here on this January 8th Wednesday, here a co-production of EWTN. So happy to be with all of you here today. I'm a host of Epiphany on Ave Maria Radio, and I'm very excited about the guest who will be joining us today, Father Mark Mary Ames, host of the number one podcast in the world, The Rosary in a Year. Kicked off the new year as being the number one podcast. So we'll be talking with him about that. In fact, he was recently on Fox News, the number one podcast in the world to start off the new year. Doesn't belong to Joe Rogan, no, as Fox News reported. Doesn't belong to Alex Cooper or Mel Robbins. It belongs to Father Mark Mary Ames of Ascension Press. And we were talking to Fox News about this podcast, and we'll be talking with him here today on Catholic Connection. And it's really just, to me, a testament that people are hungry for truth. Just like Father Mike Schmidt's podcast was the number one podcast when he launched Bible in the Year. Now, Father Mark Mary's podcast from Ascension, The Rosary in the Year, is the number one podcast. And this is amazing. And people are hungry. So we'll be talking with him how this Rosary in the Year podcast came about, what feedback he's been getting, phases and themes. My husband and I have been praying with the Rosary in the Year. We also have the book from Ascension. It's part of our daily prayer habits and the importance of prayer. I'll talk a little bit about that. But we start out every morning in prayer. And we use various apps, including the Hallow app, listening to Jeff Cavins and Father Mike Schmitz. We've been doing Catechism in the Year. We do any special devotions. Now we added the Rosary in the Year with Father Mark Mary. We also added the Chaldean Bible in the Year from the Chaldean Diocese and Bishop Francis Calabat and Father John Jiddu, which is really good because you get a Chaldean perspective on the reflections and the commentary. And this is really cool. If you're not familiar with the Chaldean Rite, of course, we're part of the Pope and the Church, the Catholic Church, one universal Catholic Church, but we're the Chaldean Rite, which is part of an Eastern Rite of the Catholic Church. And so Bishop Francis Calabat and Father John Jiddu is giving some Chaldean commentary in the reflection of Bible in the Year with the Chaldean Church. So that's very cool too. But it just proves to you that people are hungry for truth and the power of prayer. And also joining us here today on Catholic Connection in this National Hour co-production of EWTN is Joan Lewis from Joan's Rome, Joan's blog. We'll talk with her about the new year, the Pope's general audience, the big nomination of a nun as the prefect of a Vatican office, and the end of the holiday season as we start the Jubilee year in Rome and all across the country, in the world, actually. We have things going on in the Archdiocese of Detroit, pilgrimage sites as well, and ways to participate in the Jubilee year. Teresa wrote about that in the National Catholic Register. She has a wonderful blog about that, about how to really engage in the Jubilee year. We'll talk with Joan today about that as well. But I want to talk a little bit about the power of prayer. And as a Catholic leadership development coach, I really start my coaching in prayer when I have clients that want a Catholic perspective on their leadership development, their team building, and their corporate offices. Maybe they're running a small business. You may be leading a small team, or you may be leading a Fortune 500 company or a Fortune 100 company. You may have thousands of employees that you're accountable to. And so how do you develop that leadership? Through your natural talents, your God-given gifts, and when you want a Catholic perspective of being a Catholic leader. You don't have to be running a Catholic organization. You can be leading any kind of a company or corporate office, small business, whatever it may be. Maybe you're in your own family business, but Catholic leadership and prayer is a big part of how we lead. And so when we look at prayer, and as we tie it into Rosary of the Year with Father Mark Mary, who we'll be talking to today, we think about our own prayer life. And like I said, my husband and I, we start the day in prayer and end the day in prayer. We kind of divide our prayers up in the things that we pray with and for and certain prayers that we do throughout the day and having conversations with Christ, but embracing the sacred habit of daily prayer in this fast-paced whirlwind of our daily lives, it's easy to lose sight of profound moments that bring us closer to Christ. So as a Catholic leadership development coach, I believe in the transformative power of daily prayer, not merely as a ritualistic act, but as an intentional practice that anchors our spirit and guides our leadership. We want to anchor our life on Christ and our leadership on Christ and the gifts God gave us. So we're using our own natural gifts to lead. That's how I help clients develop that. They have to know what their natural talents are. What do they bring to the table? What is the value they bring as a leader? And they develop that leadership style, building strong teams and reaching goals. So the essence of connection. Daily prayer is a deliberate act of stepping into a sacred space where we connect with God. We ground our leadership. In the realm of leadership, clarity and discernment are vital. Prayer allows leaders to pause and reflect, ensuring their actions align with their values and greater good. That's what you want to do. When you look at your mission and vision statement of your company as you create your goals, you want to look at your leadership style and say, is this aligned with my values and my beliefs and my faith? It becomes time to seek wisdom from decisions that lie ahead and to find solace in knowing we're not leading alone. Christ is with us. Nourishing the soul, much like physical exercise, strengthening the body, prayer fortifies our soul. We need this. We need prayer life to stay connected to Christ, knowing we're made in the likeness and image of God. He's our source. The Holy Spirit is our source. I always call on the Holy Spirit to guide me. Fostering community. Prayer has a unique ability to bring people together. When we pray for others, we extend our compassion and empathy, fostering a sense of community and solidarity. As leaders, this outward focus is crucial. It reminds us that our roles are not solely for personal gain, but for the service of others. Thinking as a servant leader, Jesus came to serve, not to be served. That is how we should lead as Catholics. And it's a path to peace. Prayer is a path to peace. The world can often feel very chaotic, and I feel it all the time, believe me. Daily prayer offers a path to inner peace. It's a moment of silencing the noise, to center ourselves and to remember that we're part of a greater purpose, the divine plan, God's plan for us. And we live with intention when we pray. Daily prayer helps us live with intention, encourages us to be mindful of our actions and to seek alignment with God's will. And finally, incorporating daily prayer in our lives as Catholic leaders isn't just an act of a devotion. It's a profound way to stay connected, grounded, and purposeful. So what are your sacred prayer habits like? What are you doing every day? How are you praying every day and connecting with Christ every day? And listening to his voice and having those epiphany moments. I love to ask guests whenever possible on my own program about their epiphany moments. When we pray, we see the Lord shining light on our lives, illuminating truth on us, and leading us in the direction he wants us to go, his will for us, the power of prayer. So think about your prayer life. It is 8 minutes past the hour here on Catholic Connection. Vanessa Denha-Garmo filling in for Teresa Tomeo. And now it's time for the news. The chilly 9 degrees in northern Michigan and Sault Ste. Marie, 25 in the Detroit area. Chicago has 26 degrees today. St. Louis, 25. Cincinnati, also 25 degrees. Memphis is 32 and sunny today. And they're looking at Atlanta, 39 and sunny. And Jacksonville, Florida, 56 is the temperature. And sunny and 60 in Tampa, 70 in Miami. Los Angeles has 72 degrees and cloudy skies. San Francisco is also cloudy and 61 degrees. Seattle is cloudy and 49 degrees. And we look on the East Coast in New York, 31 degrees. Washington, 32. Buffalo, New York, 20 degrees and cloudy skies. Today's news is brought to you by House of Joppa, houseofjoppa.com. The Palisades fire continues to rage in hurricane-force winds in Southern California. This evacuee says he thought the fire missed his street. Then the wind shifted.
We stayed. We thought, well, you know, we've escaped this one. But then around 4 o'clock, I think it just changed directions and started coming back this way, which surprised us. So we hadn't made any plans to evacuate.
The fire, which started Tuesday morning, has burned more than 2,900 acres of land and remains uncontained. Several homes, schools, and other structures are damaged or destroyed, though no exact damage estimates are available. Resources have been stretched thin, with reports of firefighters running out of water in some areas. More than 30,000 residents of Pacific Palisades, Malibu, and Santa Monica are under mandatory evacuation orders, and more than 10,000 homes are in danger of burning. Governor Gavin Newsom has declared a state of emergency for the area, which saw 90-mile-per-hour wind gusts on Tuesday night. It's not just the fast-moving Palisades fire that has people on edge in Southern California. Another wildfire is raging out of control near L.A. The Eaton Fire broke out Tuesday afternoon in the foothills north of Pasadena and has already destroyed about 1,000 acres. Mandatory evacuations have been issued for thousands of residents living in northern Pasadena and Altadena. Fire officials say intense winds are fanning the flames and that the winds are expected to remain strong today. On the other side of Los Angeles, the Palisades fire has grown to about 3,000 acres. A new wildfire north of San Fernando Valley has destroyed 100 acres. Nearly 20 school districts in Los Angeles County are closing all campuses today. Mark Mayfield has details.
It's due to life-threatening hurricane-force Santa Ana winds and large wildfires in Pacific Palisades, Altadena, and Sylmar. Air quality is also extremely poor due to smoke, ash, and dust. The school districts shutting down for the day include Santa Monica Malibu, Pasadena, and Glendale Unified. The Los Angeles Unified School District is also closing several individual campuses, including Palisades Elementary, Topanga Elementary Charter, and University High School.
Former President Jimmy Carter is now lying in state in the U.S. Capitol Rotunda. NBC's Chris Pallone reports Carter's body was brought to Washington, D.C. yesterday from Atlanta ahead of an official state funeral at the Washington National Cathedral tomorrow.
In a ceremony bringing together leaders and dignitaries with the Carter family, the Capitol welcomed the 39th president back to Washington, remembering Carter as a man who performed a lifetime of selfless service after his one term in the White House.
Carter, who died December 29th at the age of 100, will be buried next to his wife of 77 years, Rosalynn, in their hometown of Plains, Georgia. There's more legal trouble for New York City's Mayor Eric Adams. Scott Pringle reports.
Mayor Adams has already pleaded not guilty to corruption charges, but in a new court filing, the FBI says it's uncovered additional criminal conduct by the mayor. There's no details on that yet. Documents, though, also showing that federal prosecutors claim that they've identified additional individuals involved with Adams's conduct. The mayor's response:
even Ray Charles can see what's going on. I've said over and over again, I've done nothing wrong. Let the attorneys do that. I have to run this city.
His attorney, Alex Spiro, commented saying this is amateur hour. They're just looking for a headline instead of doing the right thing.
Displays of the Ten Commandments aren't yet turning up on the walls of Louisiana classrooms. The state legislature passed a law requiring the displays in every public classroom in the state. A federal judge ruled the law was unconstitutional, but his ruling only applied to five parishes that sued after the law was passed. And the other 59 parishes' schools were supposed to post the commandments by this week. The law states that the displays can't be paid for with tax money, but must be privately donated. President-elect Donald Trump is declining to rule out the use of military or economic force to gain control of Greenland or the Panama Canal.
I can say this, we need them for economic security.
During a news conference Tuesday from Mar-a-Lago, Trump threatened to hit Denmark with tariffs if Danish officials didn't cooperate with his bid to take over Greenland. When asked if he would rule out military or economic coercion to get Greenland or the Panama Canal, Trump said, I can't assure you on either of those two. The president-elect also said he would consider using economic coercion to convince Canada to become part of the U.S. New study reveals high levels of forever chemicals found in treated wastewater samples nationwide, Katie Gray reports.
A recent study led by researchers at Harvard and New York University found high levels of harmful PFAS chemicals in treated wastewater supplies nationwide. These forever chemicals are known to contaminate drinking water and have been linked to cancer and other diseases. The study revealed that wastewater treatment facilities do not effectively effectively remove these compounds, raising concerns about the reuse of wastewater and potential contamination of drinking water supplies. The researchers tell the New York Times that there is a need to curb ongoing sources of PFAS contaminations to protect public health and the environment. I'm Katie Gray.
CVS Pharmacy is rolling out new technology that will give some customers the power to unlock inventory themselves. Certain customers will be able to use the CVS mobile app to unlock an item. A cybersecurity expert says it's a clever way to make shopping more convenient for honest customers while still deterring shoplifters. Walmart is testing similar technology in some of its stores. It's 15 minutes past the hour here on Catholic Connection. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, filling in for Teresa Tamio. We'll be right back after this.
The most amazing saints from modern times, John Paul II, Maximilian Kolbe, and Maria Faustina with the Divine Mercy. This is Steve Ray. We invite you to join us on a pilgrimage to Poland and experience this incredible Catholic country. The land of saints, Catholic culture, gorgeous churches and shrines, and delicious food. Join us next April as we again visit Poland, one of our favorite pilgrimage destinations.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
He is honored by the Church as a saint with the title of the Angelic Doctor.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Thomas Aquinas wrote a basic textbook for young theology students that became the Church's most famous guide to the faith, the Summa Theologica. It helped him earn the title Doctor of the Church. He died in 1274.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
So the number one podcast in the world to start off the new year doesn't belong to Joe Rogan, Alex Cooper, Mel Robbins. Nope, it belongs to Father Mark Mary Ames of Ascension Press. And he's here on Catholic Connection to talk with us about this podcast. Congratulations, Father, on this number one podcast of the year, Rosary in the Year. Thanks for being with us.
Absolutely, Vanessa. Yeah, real pleasure to be with you.
So how surprised were you when you found out this kicked off the new year as the number one downloaded podcast of the year?
Well, it's mixed. It's mixed. When I said yes to the project a number of months ago, I had no idea. Uh-huh. But I did know, the team had a vision, so I knew and kind of knew what we were shooting for. But it's still surreal and kind of hard to process that it happened.
Yeah, it's just I think a testament, just like Father Mike Schmidt's podcast was the number one podcast for a while, Bible in the Year, a testament that people are hungry for truth.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a big win for Team Prayer, Team Faith. Team Catholic. The faith really is alive and well, and this is, if anything, a testament to the desire that so many people have to grow in the relationship with the Lord.
Yeah, so how did this Rosary in the Year podcast come about?
The most kind of, like, remotely, it comes about kind of inspired by my own experience of learning to pray and the Rosary, going back to college when I had my conversion. But then a couple years ago, I made a video about it for Ascension, and just kind of like essentially laying out a plan that I maybe wish I had when I first started to pray, and they came across it, and they kind of looked at the plan and thought, hey, let's maybe give this a shot as the next in a year series.
Yeah. So one of the comments made on Fox News when you were interviewed about is how the, interviewer said, that I think about the Rosary, I think of my old Italian grandmother. Well, I laugh because I think of my old Chaldean grandmothers on both sides. I'm Chaldean. And I remember growing up, and my exposure to the rosary was watching my grandmother sit in our family praying the rosary. I mean, that's what my image is my grandmother's praying it. But now more and more people are praying it. I pray the rosary almost daily. So what is the feedback you're getting, and the fact that there's, a desire for people to pray the rosary, more and more people are praying the rosary?
Yeah, and it's true. I mean, just recently I was back home, and my grandmother lives with my family, and every night she's out there praying her rosary. So, I certainly think part of my own faith is the fruit of all of these grandmothers praying. But also, like I said on that little Fox interview, is what Pope Benedict said is just so true. There's been a new springtime in the rosary. And, I've been doing these videos on Ascension Presents for a few years, and basically all the most popular ones have to do with the rosary. You go in any Catholic church for an extended period of time, people are very quickly going to start going to the rosary. And so I think it's a testament to the faith. I think it's also a testament to the power and the genius of the rosary that so many people connect with it so well.
Yeah. How does it help you on your own faith journey, Father, putting together this rosary and the gear, the actual book itself, and now hosting the podcast? What does it mean to you and your growth in your faith journey?
This is 100% why I'm doing it. When I was invited to be a part of this project, I said yes to it, not in my bank of work. I didn't have space for another project, but I did have space for some of my own ongoing growth and renewal. And I really felt this being an area where I wanted to focus. And so it's been absolutely tremendous, and it's been so helpful just to go back to some of these basics and to see them again and to spend time with them again. I've developed this rosary habit and praying for so long. It's actually been really, really great still to just come at it and kind of have a bit of a fresh start, even just looking at this prayer that I've been so familiar with on a daily basis for, more than a decade.
We're talking with Father Mark Mary Ames here on Catholic Connection. The book, The Rosary in the Year, a prayer guide published by Ascension, and the podcast available, the number one downloaded podcast and Apple podcast of the new year. And Father, tell us about the phases and themes that you cover in The Rosary in the Year and in the book itself, which is available at the EWTN religious catalog as well. So Father, tell us about the phases and the themes in the book.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, the Rosary in the Year, it's really essentially a class, a school in prayer with, the Rosary as the textbook. And so we the first week, phase one, which we've just kind of completed, is really an introduction to prayer, what prayer is, and really connecting with God in prayer. And then we're going to go into this next phase, which is looking at the prayers themselves and spending some time with the prayers themselves, the scriptural basis of the Rosary. And then as we get into the phase three, we're going to be getting much more kind of in-depth into the mysteries and praying with the mysteries. There's a number of saint writings. There's a number of holy images depicting the different mysteries. And all the while, we're slowly but surely building up the prayer muscle. So that's the vision. Is there's a good amount of time of reforming what we're praying with and what we're meditating on, while also developing and building the habit of praying the rosary.
Father, do you approach the Rosary in the Year podcast? Do you think people should be doing this together, or this is meant for people to do it individually? My husband and I pray every morning together, and we're praying the Rosary in the Year. But is this can be part of a Bible study, a prayer group, where large groups of people are doing this together?
I do think there's a particular beauty, at least for me, hearing when people are doing it together. Like you mentioning, you doing it with your husband, I find that to be the best kind of feedback and the most encouraging kind of feedback. Certainly there's parish programs that Ascension has put together that they can send out to the parishes so that a parish can do it together. There's a private Facebook group where a number of people are coming together and helping to sort of encourage one another. So our journey, our faith is so communal. I think it would make sense for this to involve other people, but I also understand for a variety of reasons that might not totally work for everybody.
And so what's been, I know you've been doing it for a while, but can you, is there any story or any particular feedback you can share with our listeners about what people's responses are to the book and the podcast and what you've done so far with Rosary in the Year?
What I'll do actually is go back to the flow of it, because, I had made a video proposing this years ago, and some of the feedback we got was, because the goal is actually to you know, really, really enrich, but build somebody's ability, like, to pray the rosary. And so I have feedback from somebody who's like, hey, you know, I saw this video, I gave it a shot, and, you know, I wasn't praying the rosary, and now it's, you know, 3 years later, and I'm praying the rosary every day. So that's the number one type of feedback, is that it develops for the folks, like, who do it, like, a love of the rosary and that daily habit of praying the rosary.
We're talking with Father Mark Mary Ames here, a host of the podcast, Rosary in a Year, and the book, The Rosary in the Year, Prayer Guide with Father Mark Mary from Ascension, available at the EWTN Religious Catalog. For those people, we have about a minute. You know, I'm going to save that question for the break, after the break. But what I'm going to ask you, Father, is for those who are new to praying the rosary, or will people who pray the rosary every day already get anything from it? So the people who are new to praying it and the people that already pray it, what difference will it make to each one of them? So that's a question I want to ask you after the break when we come back here on Catholic Connection. Again, The Rosary in the Year Prayer Guide with Father Mark Mary with Ascension Press, available at the EWTN Religious Catalog. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back and continue our conversation with Father Mark Mary Ames. We'll be right back.
"60 Seconds with Father Mitch Pacwa.
The state has responsibility to orient things, but they can't take over the rights of the family, like in China, to have one child and that's it. It's a disaster over there. How many tens of millions of abortions have gone on? And one of the things that, as a result of that, is because of the preference to have boy children rather than girls, you have, for every 1,000 boys, there are 850 girls. This is a great imbalance. Same thing is going on in northern India. So this is where the government cannot take away the primary and inalienable responsibility of married couples and families. And they cannot employ methods which fail to respect the person and fundamental human rights. Beginning with the right to life, the government cannot force you to kill innocent human beings and still be a humanistic government. It's an evil government.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
What are we expressing when we use the word hour in relation to God? The Catholic Catechism tells us the adjective hour does not mean possession, but an entirely new relationship with God. It means that we recognize that all God's promises of love coming through the prophets are fulfilled in the new and eternal covenant in His Christ. We have become His people, and He is our God. We are to respond to this gift in Jesus Christ with love and faithfulness. The Church is this new communion of God and man. In praying Our Father, each of the baptized is praying in this communion as written in the Acts of the Apostles. The company of those who believed were of one mind and one heart. But the Hour and the Our Father, if prayed sincerely, also includes all for whom God gave His beloved Son, revealing the dimensions of God's love for all, even those who do not yet know Him. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
And we're back here on Catholic Connection. Vanessa Denha-Garmo filling in for Teresa Tamio. We're talking about Rosary in the Year with Father Mark Mary Ames by Ascension Press, the number one podcast in the world, launching this new year. And so, Father, for those people who are new to praying the rosary, or those people who already pray the rosary every day, what will they get out of this rosary in the year?
You know, I think this is the genius of the rosary itself, is that it's always new and always a source of grace, kind of wherever you're at, right? There's so many families who are teaching their 6-year-old, their 8-year-old, like the very basics of prayer with the rosary, and then we have the great saints, John Paul II, Padre Pio, Mother Teresa, et cetera, who had this great devotion to the rosary. So I think for everybody where they're at, it's going to be an invitation to kind of make that next best step in their spiritual life. And for some, it'll be learning. For some, it'll just be going deeper. But my experience is I made this for beginner me, and I'm doing it as like not beginner me, and I've found it to be a huge source of grace for myself, who's been a religious for, you know, more than a decade plus.
So I'm going to just one more question about the Rosary in the Year, and I want to switch gears to your book on holy habits. But where can people learn more about Rosary in the Year, the podcast, and pray in the prayer plan?
Yeah, ascensionpress.com/rosaryinayear is a catch-all for all things Rosary in the Year and would be the next kind of best place to go.
And so, Father, you've written other books, including Holy Habits, which I absolutely love, Habits for Holiness, Small Steps for Making Big Spiritual Progress. Tell us about that book and why, you know, habits are important for our holiness and our leadership, too, as Catholics.
Yeah, you know, the inspiration of the book really comes from looking at my life as a Franciscan friar. I'm a Franciscan friar of the Renewal. And, you know, our call is to grow in holiness in the midst of the world, and often a pretty kind of complicated and complex and crazy world. And so habits for holiness, like the habits essentially are, what are the pillars of our life that also, and then communicating those in a way which is like appropriate and applicable, particularly for the lay people. And this is the genius of habits in general, right? There's a genius to developing good habits and to rhythm. And there's a reason to like religious life and all this sort of stuff. Like there's always rhythm. There's always consistency. There's these built-in habits. But also it's not complicated. Like following the Lord and growing in holiness, it's not a matter really too much of like creativity, reinventing the wheel. It's really fidelity to these habits and to these clear invitations that the Lord offers us.
So Habits for Holiness, Small Steps for Making Big Spiritual Progress is another one of Father's books. And Father, I like to ask guests whenever possible on my own program, Epiphany, about our light bulb moments where the Lord really shines truth on our life. And we have so many of these. And in fact, the more we become connected to Christ, the more we notice these epiphany moments, what I've experienced with people I coach. So can you share an epiphany moment with us, you know, one of those light bulb moments in your own life?
Yeah, I think the one that immediately comes to mind and is connected to the Rosary in the Year is, I had my conversion freshman year of college, which was October of 2003, and I was actually in doing this Rosary in a Year podcast prep and study, as I realized that Pope John Paul II, he put out his apostolic letter on the Most Holy Rosary, beginning the year of the Most Holy Rosary, October of 2002, which ended in October of 2003, which is the exact same time that I had my conversion. And so, like, the epiphany for me is it certainly seems like the grace for me to have this conversion and to really kind of get it, which was itself a mini epiphany. I really think it's the fruit of so many people praying the Rosary, and so that now I get to be a part of this feels like a particular kind of gift and beautiful way of God's providence being revealed in my life.
What are you hoping, Father, you know, when you ventured into this and started this podcast and worked on the book with Ascension, what are you hoping people will take away from this experience of praying with you, the Rosary in a Year?
The kind of the one aim of everything I do is to get people to pray. Mm-hmm. Like that's really the first step. And that's really, for many of us, the hardest step. And so my real goal, like the first of the habits for holiness is that daily prayer life. The first aim of Rosary in the Year is to encourage people in prayer in a way which is encouraging but also formative. So I think that's just like what we need in the world. John Paul II says in the Apostolic Letter is men and women who are men and women of prayer, particularly Christians and Catholics, to be people of prayer. And so I'm just trying to pray myself and to get other people to pray and to kind of keep growing in that part of their life.
And what I love about this process too, Father Mark Mary, and doing the podcast is it's wonderful for people who feel intimidated. Like I said, have never prayed the Rosary before, don't even know where to start when it comes to prayer or even how to evangelize the faith. I mean, introducing somebody to this podcast is a simple way to evangelize the faith and bring others to Christ. And we're all trying to do our part, right, to bring others to Christ. Can you kind of speak on that? And this, you know, it's a non-intimidating way of prayer, learning how to pray.
Yeah, and you know, to be honest, like my call and my work and kind of who I am isn't, I'm not exactly going to be like an Olympic coach. So I'm not like send your top athletes and I'm going to help them kind of take to that next level. I'm more of like almost like a physical therapist, and I have a particular ministry and heart for those who maybe struggle, those for whom things may not come naturally. And so again, my hope with the Rosary of the Year is particularly that it's helpful and encouraging for those folks, particularly because I think, you know, I think of folks who are like, I keep hearing I should pray the rosary and it should be the best thing, and I'm doing it all the time, but I'm like struggling with it. I'm like, okay, I see you, and can this be helpful for you to kind of grow in that area of your life?
We're talking with Father Mark Mary Ames here, the podcast, The Rosary in the Air Prayer Guide, the book available through Ascension Press, podcast through Ascension Press. We have available at the EWTN Religious Catalog. Father Mark Mary, just a couple minutes left with you here on Catholic Connection. What else do you want to share with our listeners? What else do you want them to think about about prayer and their own prayer life?
Yeah, you know, I think what comes to mind is, you know, so many of our struggles begin when we are contemplating the wrong thing. And, you know, in a immediate example that comes to mind is if you just spend so much time, like, looking up at the news and the world and everything that's going wrong, there can certainly be a temptation to feel like the darkness is winning. But if we come to the Lord in prayer, like, again and again and again, we come to the Lord, we have a faith of hope. We have a faith in, you know, particularly the life, death, passion, resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, like, is a sure hope, which is a light that the darkness will never overcome. And so the encouragement is, like, to get back to contemplating Him and His good news and receiving the fullness of the hope that our Lord wants to offer us, particularly in our own interior lives of prayer.
You know, that's such a great point, because the world is so chaotic sometimes, and there's so much confusion in the world today, and it is through Christ that we gain clarity. It is through that prayer life, and we, instead of looking to the culture for our identity, we got to go back to our Catholic roots and our Catholic faith and our identity made in the likeness and image of God, and through prayer find our his will for us, opposed to what the culture is telling us our life should be like.
Yeah, you nailed it. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Father Mark Mary Ames, thank you so much for being with us here on Catholic Connection, and congratulations on being the number one podcast and sharing your story with us here on Catholic Connection.
Yeah, thanks so much, Vanessa.
God bless you and all that you do. Father Mark Mary Ames, the book, The Rosary in a Year Prayer Guide with Father Mark Mary Ames by Ascension Press, also available at the EWTN Religious Catalog, and he's the number one downloaded podcast on Apple Podcasts. Stay with us, everyone. When we come back, Joan Lewis will be joining us.
Welcome to Spirit of Stewardship. Jeremy Beltke is your host for real-life stories, encouragement, and ideas to enhance your own gifts of work, wealth, and wisdom in response to God's blessings for you.
I'm Jeremy Beltke, and today's topic is Stewardship of the Environment, God's Creation of Nature. When you hear the message, "Be a wise steward of your resources," do you ever consider the role you play in your community environment? It's natural to think of time, talent, and treasure when stewardship is mentioned, but our faith teaches us that all is gift from God. Thus, respect for nature and doing our part to ensure a safe and clean environment is important. Here are just three areas we can pay more attention. A lot of action has been taken in recent years by nonprofits geared towards a cleaner environment. The first area of focus is to eliminate litter. Consider how your actions to pick up after yourself are pleasing to God. Be proud to do your part to keep your community and neighborhood clean. Secondly, look at ways to recycle and make the most out of your purchases. Does it matter to you that so much plastic consumes our landfills? Have you given thought as to how you can make a particular purchase last longer? Third, in a country filled with abundance, what's being done to ensure our nature and environment for the next generation? This is more than eating bread crust and cleaning off your plate. The root lies in not wasting what we've been given. There's a great deal of time and effort that goes into caring for our place of residence in addition to our possessions. Keeping up what is ours or giving our used possessions to the less fortunate are a couple of ways to be prudent stewards of our blessings from God. I'm Jeremy Belsky, your host for Spirit of Stewardship.
To learn how you can better share your talents and resources, contact your local parish priest. Your level of involvement in the church now positively impacts our faith in the future.
It's It's Wednesday. That means Joan Luce is with us here on Catholic Connection. Joan's Rome's blog, talking about what's happening in the Vatican and Rome concerning the Holy Father and the Catholic Church. Happy New Year. Happy Epiphany season, yeah. Joan.
And the very same back to you and to all of our listeners. Well, of course, this is a huge time to be in Italy. They celebrate Italy and the Vatican, of course, celebrate so many holidays as in a religious sense that it's nationwide. So like the Epiphany. And
yeah.
I always think that's pretty wonderful when that happens, that a nation, you know, takes a religious holiday and makes it a nationwide Labor Day.
Yes.
I mean, a nationwide holiday. But we're back to normal today. We haven't had the general audience for 2 weeks because the last two Wednesdays have been Christmas and New Year's. But today was a little unusual. I think that the audience was held inside in the Paul VI Hall. But I think a lot of our listeners, we know what the expression, hey, let's talk about the elephant in the room means. You know, it's usually a very delicate subject, something nobody wants to talk about, but it's bigger than life. Well, there was an elephant in the room today at the papal audience. There, at the end of his catechesis on child labor, by the way, the scourge of child labor, the Pope had... There was a 10-minute interlude by the Circ Africa. And, of course, as you tuned in, you can see the video, and I'll post a link to it. But anybody sitting in the hall, at a certain point, the door opened, the door through which the Pope and other guests always walk. And the next thing you know, we're looking at an elephant. Mm. And it seemed so utterly, totally lifelike. Now, I'm not sure how it was made, but in the English language commentary of the Vatican, of the general audience and the circus, it said it was a model elephant supported by the people carrying it. So if you looked really, really close, you could see that it, but I mean really close, you could see that it was not a real, or anyway, it seemed like it was not a real elephant, but I'm sure there was a huge gasp of oh my gosh, what's this, of the 9,000 people sitting in the audience watching an elephant parade in. And then there was a baby elephant coming in later. But if you had to bet your last 100 on it, you probably would have lost the 100 if you'd said, yeah, that's a real elephant. So, but the Pope and the guests and the people on the stage with him, including bishops and so forth, enormously enjoyed all of the acrobatics and the elephant whose tusk, I guess I should put that in quote marks, the Holy Father touched, because the trainer came over and just kind of, the elephant's tusk reached up and the Pope touched it. Anyway, it was wonderful. And in a way, it was kind of a wonderful way to end a very difficult catechesis, because the Pope did announce at the beginning of the audience that this week and next, the catechesis would be dedicated to the scourge of child labor. And he opened by saying, this is the century that generates artificial intelligence and plans multi-planetary existences, but has not yet reckoned with the scourge of humiliated, exploited, mortally wounded children. Mm. And he highlighted how many children today throughout the world, for so many reasons, he said, they're dying of thirst, or they're hunger, or torn apart by bombs. And so it was a catechesis that really almost made you want to weep, and I'll be posting the main text on that, obviously, on my, you know, on my blog. But Jesus and Mary, his mother, and St. Joseph, said the Pope, he noted how they were forced to experience, like so many millions today, the nightmare of becoming refugees in a foreign land. And, of course, we know that they were in Egypt for a considerable period of time, the Holy Family. But the Pope said, you know, these children forced to work are exploited by an economy that does not respect life. Those who recognize themselves as children of God cannot remain indifferent. They can't accept that our little brothers and sisters, instead of being loved and protected, are robbed of their childhood, of their dreams, and become victims of exploitation and marginalization. So, you know, I think we have to let those words stay in our heart and support any single person, group, organization that tries to combat the scourge of child labor. It just, children should be out in a playground. They should be playing. They should have games. They should be going to school. It's just a sad reality.
Unfortunately, it is. Yeah. Child labor, yeah. Child abuse. There's so many ways children are being abused all over the globe, not just in child labor issues, but we have, you know, human trafficking issues with children. I mean, so many horrible things happening with children all over the globe today.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and, you know, trafficking in women, not just children, et cetera.
Yeah.
But in any event, a very sad reality. So.
Yeah. We're talking with Joan Lewis. Joan, I want to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about this a nomination of a nun prefect of a Vatican office when we come back. But we got to take a break with Joan Lewis here. Joan's Rome here on Catholic Connection. We'll be right back after this.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
If I disciplined consistently, I'd be disciplining constantly. If I were consistent in my discipline, that would mean I would discipline more, and I'd be disciplining him often. The exact opposite is the case. More consistent discipline leads to less constant discipline. Why? Because you're predictable. The child knows if he does A, you'll do B. That is why, when you are predictable in your authority, you will actually have to use that authority less. Consistent discipline leads to less constant discipline. The more you act when you need to act, the less you will have to act in the future with similar misbehavior.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
And we're back with Joan Lewis here on Catholic Connection. Vanessa Dunn-Hagarmo filling in for Teresa Tamio. Joan, it is the Jubilee year. There's a couple things I want to talk to you about is the nomination of the prefect of a Vatican office of the nun and then Jubilee year kicking off. And how many people going through the holy doors at St. Peter's?
Yeah, two pretty amazing stories. Well, so far, as of yesterday, the Vatican announced that 545,000 people have 545,000 people have gone through the Holy Door just at St. Peter's, and I worked that out to be, if you like averages, 36,133 people in a day per day, and 4,037 per hour entering the Basilica. Seems like very high numbers. I'm happy if they're high. I have no idea how they're calculated, and you don't have counters as you walk through the Holy Door, because people may go in, you know, one on each side of the Holy Door, two, four, a group, so you don't count one at a time. Anyway, there has to be some office that's keeping track of this, or at least of the people who have registered. So pretty amazing statistics for the first 2 weeks of the whole year. And another amazing statistic, well, it's not a statistic, it is a piece of church news. For the first time ever, the Holy Father named a woman, a nun, an Italian-born nun, from the Consolata Missionaries, as prefect of a Vatican dicastery. Now, it's the dicastery for institutes of consecrated life and societies of apostolic life, which her institute would have belonged to. And then just last year, she was made secretary of this dicastery, which, until Pope Francis reorganized the Roman Curia, this was a congregation. So a several hundred-year-old body within the Roman Curia, because there used to be, until his new document for the Roman Curia, there used to be pontifical councils and then congregations. And a congregation was always headed by a cardinal, just given the nature of the work within a congregation, which often meant that there had to be activities done by someone who was ordained. So, you know, I mean a priest, a bishop, in this case a cardinal. But Sister obviously is not ordained, but she will be assisted, if you will, by a cardinal who was named the pro-prefect of the dicastery, Cardinal Angel Fernandez Artime. He's 65, and he was created a cardinal in 2023. He was named pro-prefect. So if there was anything in her or any particular function in that dicastery that had to be performed by an ordained person, the cardinal could do that, or some ordained person that he could name. And the interesting thing is, what has been born of this nomination is to say exactly where does canon law stand on this. The Holy Father created some new possibilities for lay people to head big offices in the Vatican. He did that in his document for the Roman Curia 2 years ago. But in any event, there are people, a lot of us in the media, who are saying, okay, wait a minute, we think we might have to look at this. What does canon law say? And I'm sure that the Holy Father, to be honest with you, if he's going to announce a big nomination like this, he's also going to have talked to experts in canon law and those who helped write his document on the on the Apostolic Constitution on the Holy See. So, in any event, for a woman, for the first time in the history of the Catholic Church, to be a leader, to have an Italian-born nun, is a very exciting piece of news. And she's not inexperienced. She's a very, very good person, to a good person personally, and then good as a choice, obviously, to be the prefect. So history is being made in our lifetime, and I'm sure that her order of Consolata Missionaries is tremendously excited as she and they head into this new year, this jubilee year, and then her position as prefect. Believe me, she's going to have a lot of people praying for her. So we wish Sister Simona, she'll be 60 in March. She looks about half that age in most of her photos. But Sister Simona Brambilla. So we certainly will pray for her. And then the same day that she was named, her news, because of its historic nature, kind of placed a second nomination, in the shadows, and that was Cardinal McElroy of San Diego was named as the new Archbishop of Washington, D.C. So he will be removed from San Diego and in the new year take over his post as Cardinal Archbishop of Washington, with Wilton Gregory, his nomination as Cardinal Archbishop having been received by the Pope. So, news in the American Church, news in the Universal Church.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
What a wonderful role model Sister Simona will be for women in Catholic leadership, positions, and
exactly.
We'll definitely be following her. In terms of the Jubilee year, Rome, a couple of minutes with you here on Catholic Connection, what is expected for this upcoming Jubilee year in Rome, and what are things going on along with people walking through the Holy Doors?
Sure. Well, actually, there's. I think people would have to know. I mean, I can do this every day or provide a link. It's very easy to find a link to the Vatican site on the official Jubilee Year site, because that site lists all the big events of every single month. I think there's 42 or 43 planned for the whole year, in the sense this month. Later in the month of January, there will be the Jubilee of Communicators. And that'll be, those big jubilees are usually on weekends. So they're, you know, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, or Saturday and Sunday, bringing together from what people from all over the world, in this case, communicators in January. I mean, there's going to be artists and teachers and musicians and people in the healthcare world. There's going to be all kinds of jubilees. And then the official Jubilee site lists all of these, what they call big jubilees. Then they have another part of their site that is dedicated to all the groups coming from around the world to go through the holy doors in Rome, make, you know, dioceses and so forth, making pilgrimages. So we got a year ahead of us, almost a year, because the Jubilee closes on the Feast of the Epiphany in 2026. So we have lots of months, lots of activities, and lots to talk about.
Amen. Thanks, Joan, for being with us here on A Catholic Connection. Joan's Rome, Joan's Rome's blog, available. Joan, thank you, and God bless, and Happy New Year.
Likewise.
Happy Jubilee, Jones Lewis, with us here on Catholic Connection. Jones Rome, you can get your blog. Thank you to Father Mark Mary Ames for being with us here on Catholic Connection and talking with us about the Rosary in a Year prayer guide from Ascension Press. That's also available. Number one podcast of 2025. Father Mark Mary Ames. So check out his podcast, get his book, available at the EWTN Religious Catalog. Vanessa Denhagarmo filling in for Teresa Tommy. I'll be back in our host here tomorrow, God willing. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tommio. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.